Most of us around the world wake to alarm clocks like this. Or to this. For decades, thousands and thousands of Indians around the world have woken to this. Kausalya Supraja Rama Purva Sandhya Pravartate Uttishtha Narashardula Kartavyam Deva Mandhikam. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata, and that is Suprabhatam, a 15th century hymn that awakens the Hindu deity Venkateshwara from his slumber. The singer is M.S. Subbalakshmi, or as millions call her, M.S. That alarm clock turned 100 last week, though M.S. Subbalakshmi herself died in 2004. Her tradition was Carnatic music, the classical music of southern India. But Vishnu Vasudev, a fan and connoisseur, says you don't have to understand the nuances of the Carnatic classical music tradition to be moved by her.
She was immersed in a music and it showed. Even if predictable, it was freshly felt music each time because she felt it freshly each time.
Even when she was singing in another language and smudging the pronunciation, it didn't matter. Her eyes were closed. The feeling in her voice glowed. And it didn't hurt that the voice was perfectly pitch-aligned. Another music legend called her the goddess of the perfect note. M.S. Subbalakshmi made her first record at the age of 10 in 1926. Her career spanned more than 7 decades, a dozen languages, and began at a time when it was not easy for women to break into the old boys' club of serious classical music. She was born into the community of Devadasis, women who sang and danced in temples. She never knew her father, but that purity of that voice could not be denied. Helen Keller, it is said, dissolved in tears listening to M.S. sing by just running her fingers over her throat. Mahatma Gandhi said he'd rather hear M.S. speak a hymn than anyone else sing one. When he was assassinated in 1948, her voice singing one of his favorite hymns told the nation he was gone. Hare, 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 she became a national sensation as a singing actress, especially in the role of the 16th century princess Meera, who becomes a singing saint devoted to the god Krishna. MS too became devoted to her music with her silk saris, her oiled wavy grey hair, her diamond nose rings. Everything about her felt wholesome, pious, almost grandmotherly. She was well packaged by her husband and mentor, says Vishnu. And she stopped all public performances after her husband died.
She has, unfairly to those who have followed, set the benchmark for what we expect of our musicians. To be meticulous, cheerful, humble, traditional, eminently presentable, innocent, accessible, and still crowd-pleasing.
You don't have to understand the lyrics when she sang in Tamil or Telugu languages. You don't have to understand the grammar of Carnatic music. You don't have to be a devotee of the particular Hindu deity she was singing to. The music still reached across India's many linguistic and religious barriers to touch you in some place beyond technical brilliance.
I suppose what I am saying is that her music to me is the equivalent of comfort food. But comfort food can be a winner.
In 1977, the New York Times called her India's best woman singer, and then added, it would be interesting to hear any male singer who is better. This year, The United Nations issued a stamp to mark her centenary. In 1966, she had sung at the General Assembly as an ambassador of Carnatic music. Vishnu Vasudev salutes that, but says he remembers MS on a different scale.
She may be an ambassador, but to me, she is a friend who sings
sublimely. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata for KALW. Kan